Welcome to a life-giving, life-changing message from East Coast Christian Center. Get ready for God's blessing as our special guest speaker ministers to you.
Well, I'm growing some tomatoes this year. Anybody else growing tomatoes? Good, good, good. I grew some last year. My daughter, for my birthday, gave me this box about this big, about 10 or 12 inches wide and about that deep. And this thing was cool. It's got like a screen in the bottom. And so you put in all of this dirt, this tomato growing dirt, and then you dump all of the fertilizer that you'll need for all season right on the top. And then you plant your plants in there, or actually you put a cover over it, this little plastic cover. You make these holes and you put your plants in it. And it's got a tube that goes down into the bottom. You fill the bottom up with water, and it just sort of absorbs up in there. And man, we had tomatoes. They were just gorgeous. They were up on the back porch. We could get to them real easy. And, you know, the bugs didn't mess with them much. And it was just wonderful. We had more tomatoes than we could eat. Well, this year I decided, well, I don't want to mess with that box, because I had to put water in that box every day. Every day, because it would get dry, and it was like, you know, you'd fill it up till the water runs out of it. And every day I'd put, you know, a gallon or a couple of gallons of water in it. It was like, gosh, when I'd forget, they'd start to, you know, wilt. And so I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to plant them over about 8 feet from there where the sprinkler can still hit them and everything. I'm going to plant these tomatoes over there, and I'm not going to mess with them much. And so I went out there the other day and looked at them, and there's like no tomatoes on one of them. And the other one looks like it's just barely getting along, and it's got two tomatoes on it, deformed. And it's like, this is a perfect example of, if you don't take care of the soil and prepare it like was prepared in that box, man, it was perfect. It was warm and had a cover over it. It was just, everything was perfect. Had all of the nutrients in it, all the water it could ever need. Now it's getting watered like, you know, with water restriction, you can water twice a week, you know. And so they're going, no fruit for you this year. Tomato is a fruit, right? Well, it's just a great illustration. If we don't take care of our own hearts, our heart is a life factory, Pastor Dan shared with us this week, and our heart is a life factory. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth does what? Speaks. And that's how we produce the things in life that God has called us to produce. That's how we produce the promises that God has made to us. That's how we get the will of God to come to pass in our lives, is by taking care of the soil in our hearts. We talked about that a little bit last week, where there were five things that Jesus mentioned in Mark chapter 4. There are the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust for other things. There's afflictions and persecutions that come. Those are the types of things, like those are the weeds and the rocks and the bugs, and the soil is just not able to produce the fruit. Why? Because I didn't prepare the soil in my heart. I'm not able to produce what God has asked and called me and ordained me to produce in this life. Have you ever done that? Have you ever planted something and it didn't grow? Yeah. I think we've all been part of that. I think it's a beautiful picture for us to look at. Here's something to think about. Think about it. I wrote this statement down. I want you to think about this, okay? You are speaking right now. We are speaking in our lives what is in abundance in our hearts. We are speaking now. You are speaking. And I am speaking words that are coming from the abundance of my heart. Because the scripture says in Matthew 12, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. So, whatever type of things are being produced in your life, say the word things. Things. Whatever things are being produced in your life, good things, maybe not so good things. They are a reflection of what is in abundance in your heart and what is being released from your mouth. I mean, it's that simple. Jesus said a lot about words. This is one thing he wanted to impress upon us, that the sower sows the word out of his mouth. Now listen to this. Only faith-filled, God-anointed words will produce the God kind of life, which Jesus described in John 10 as an abundant life. Man, thinking about David's offering message. Powerful, man. I thought about that passage of scripture over in, I think it's 2 Corinthians chapter 8, that says, God is able to make all grace and favor, his favor, abound toward you, that you, having all sufficiency for all things, may abound to every good work, to the missions trip, to the kids' camps, to the, you know, building program, to your favorite evangelist, to the work of the gospel. You can abound to every good work. How's that going to happen in my life? That's not happening in my life. I'm telling you, it's going to happen by putting something in abundance in your heart. The good seed of the word of God in abundance in your heart, so that your mouth, faith-filled, God-inspired, spirit life words can come out of your mouth and they can change the course of nature. Like we said over in, or like the scripture says over in James, that the tongue sets on a course, the course of nature. Amen. So that's what we're talking about. I want to begin by just sharing a couple of scriptures. One is 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 11. I want to remind you that God wants us to speak like he speaks. He wants us to actually speak on his behalf. 1 Peter 4:10 says that if any man speaks, let it be as the oracles of God. It's one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible because it's so clear and so pointed. If you speak, let it be as the oracles of God. And then again, the Matthew chapter 12 scripture we've already quoted, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. An evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil things. You are speaking what is in abundance in your heart, and only God-filled, faith-filled words will produce the abundant life of God that he has planned for you. Somebody say amen. And if you speak like God wants you to speak, you will live like God wants you to live. Amen. So take heed. Take heed what you are hearing, like Pastor Dave's scripture said over in Mark 4. Take heed what you're hearing, because it fills your heart, and out of the abundance of the heart your mouth speaks, and that's what you get. And unfortunately, many, many Christians fill their heart with a lot of other things other than the Word of God. We're just not good at filling our heart with the Word of God. Now, not you guys, because you're here on Wednesday night and you're pouring your heart out to get the Word in there. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So the Word of God spoken out of your mouth. Here's something. I want to sort of coin a phrase, if I could. I want to call this a circle of faith. There's a circle of faith that takes place. When you open your mouth and you speak the Word of God concerning your situation, concerning your life, concerning a problem, concerning your children, concerning your finances, concerning your health, when you put the Word of God in your mouth and you speak it, there is a circle of faith that takes place, because faith comes by what? Hearing. So when you speak the word, you are, circle of faith, you are hearing the word. Nobody pays as much attention to your words as you do. You are your favorite hearer. You like to hear your voice more than anybody else's voice. You do. And you're made that way, and your heart will respond to your own voice. And so when you put the word of God in your mouth and you speak it, when you're suffering some kind of a symptom, and you put the word of God in your mouth and you say, by his stripes I was healed, he bore my sickness and carried my diseases, I'm not carrying this. When you put that in your mouth and you stand when the symptom gets worse, and you stand when it looks like you're going down or going under, you don't let anything else get in your mouth. You're a Joshua 1:8 person. You say, do not let the word of God depart from your mouth. Don't let it leave. Keep it in your mouth. Do not let the word of God depart from your mouth. Speak it all the time. Meditate in it day and night and night and day and night. Meditating, speaking the word. It will produce. Then you will make your way, this is what the scripture says, 1 John 1:8 says, then you will make your way prosperous. Didn't say God would make your way prosperous. Said you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. And I know that's what you want. But we've got to get this circle of faith going where we're speaking the word. Now sometimes when you put the word in your mouth and you speak it, you don't really believe it like you're going to believe it. Remember the first time when you confessed, by his stripes I was healed. Hey, hey, hey. And then it's like, I feel horrible. And you're tempted to not say it because it's like, this is not true concerning me. And you want to draw back from that. That's when affliction and persecution comes at you and you say, oh, and it's stony soil in your heart, and you don't keep the word in your mouth, then you draw back and it can't produce fruit. But when you are being tested, when the winds of life blow, and you say, regardless of how I feel, by his stripes I was healed, himself bore my sickness and carried my infirmities, and you don't back off of that, and you're a Joshua 1:8 person, you have it in your mouth, pretty soon you begin to believe that. Because you're getting invested in that word. You know it's the word of God. You just don't quite have it fully down in your heart yet. It's still trying to get established and put roots down. By his stripes I was healed. By his stripes I was healed. He bore my sickness and carried my infirmities. By his stripes I was healed. And you keep it in there and you don't let anything else come out of your mouth. You say, well, that puts me in bondage. I can't tell anybody I'm sick. Well, yes, you can, but just don't dwell on that. I'm so sick. Somebody get me a cold cloth. I'm feeling sick, and you call six people, and you tell them you've been sick, and you're getting sick, and it feels sicker, and you're sick, 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 sick. You know, you might want to tell your wife, you know what? My body's trying to overcome something right now. That's code word for I'm sick. Amen. We speak in code at my house. Amen. My body's trying to overcome something. And she knows, and I know, and we just go to work with our faith, and we say, by his stripes I was healed, though. Glory to God. Himself bore my sickness and carried my disease. Put the word in there. The more you put it in there, the more it gets in your heart. The more it gets in your heart, the more your words become faith. Filled words. Now, faith-filled words have a whole lot more powerful, or have a whole lot more power than words when you're trying to develop faith in your heart. You're saying it, and it may not be bringing something to pass right now. I'm not seeing much fruit go on, and it's just the blade and then the ear. But eventually, there's going to be the full corn in the ear. And bless God, you're going to be walking around in divine health at that point. Sickness cannot get on you. Everybody might be sick around you, but you don't get it. Amen. That's how God has ordained for us to live. Live separate from sickness and walk in divine health. Jesus was never sick one day in his life. Yeah, but he was God. I know he was, but he laid aside his deity. that he might take upon himself the form of a servant, the likeness of sinful man. He took upon himself the likeness of sinful man. Now, he didn't sin, but he took upon himself. He could have. He was at all points tempted like we were, so he was tempted with sickness. And you know what? I really like looking at sickness like that, by the way. When a symptom tries to hit you, that's a temptation. I'm tempted. I'm being tempted right now to be sick. I think I'm going to pass it up. I think I'm going to put the word in my mouth. I'm going to declare the word, and faith-filled words will cause that thing to dissipate. See, the more we say it, the more we think it, the more we hear it, the more we begin to believe it. We begin to believe it. We begin to have faith in our hearts to be able to see the word of God come to pass, the promises of God. See all those healing scriptures? Those are promises from God. And he wants those to come to pass in your life, every one of them. All the promises of God are already yes and amen to you. That means if God promised it, it's yours. All you have to do is put it in your heart, let it grow and establish roots, and let it come out of your mouth. Now I'm going to recap just a couple of quick things here before we move into the meat of what we're talking about tonight. There is a process of this confession thing, or getting the word of God in our mouth and releasing it and declaring it and believing it. There's a process in it. And the very first part, you might be here tonight and go, I've never heard anything like this before. This is just like, whoa. I like it, but it's just, I haven't been exposed to it. Now listen, there are some first steps that you take with confession, with making declarations of the word of God over your life. And as I thought about this today, I thought this was a really important thing. I'm not sure, we hit it on the first night, but I'm not sure we got it deep enough in us. The first thing you need to give attention to is to eliminate faith-killing words. Okay? Eliminate coarse jesting. Eliminate racial or sexual jokes. Oh, Pastor Ray. Yes. I don't even like hearing them. If you're a Christian, you love God, that should rub you the wrong way. And you should not laugh, and you should not partake, and you should not repeat. Coarse jesting, sexual jokes, cursing. You don't curse anymore. Stop it. When you say a curse word by accident, or it just comes out of you because it's in abundance in your heart, you say, I'm not a cusser. I do not cuss anymore. My words are pure and lovely. Somebody say amen with me. Amen. No cussing. Amen. Eliminate empty, worthless, no good, judgmental, hate-filled words. Eliminate them. Don't let them come out of your mouth. Why? Because you're establishing that in your heart. When you say it, you hear it, and faith comes, or believing comes. You believe it. You're trying to establish a new kingdom in your heart. You got to uproot and get the old kingdom out. That's why God said, when you go into the land, you destroy stinking everything. He didn't say stinking everything. I said it, but it's this new vernacular. Just wipe everything. Don't let anything live. But some of us let things live. We say little bitty acceptable cuss words. You know what I'm saying? The ones they're saying on TV now on a regular basis, those are acceptable. No, they're not. Not if you want to walk in faith. So knock that off. Second thing, so that's recognizing, eliminating that stuff. It just builds fear. It's deplorable. We've got to stop it. We can't grow faith in a garden like that. Amen. Secondly, is fill your heart with and your mouth with the word of God. Make daily confessions. Now, I just wanted to reemphasize this, that we make daily confessions. This is not something that you, let me just say this. I'm aware that we're just not as good at making confessions of the Word of God. There's a lot of pressure against us, you know. You say, you know, you're just a blab it, grab it, you're just a name it, claim it, you're just a this, you're that. And I understand that, but we're not talking about trying to get something that God doesn't want us to have. We're talking about trying to get into full play in our lives every promise that God has made to us, and that's what we're putting in our mouth. So, and that has to be a daily basis. If you're dealing with something, let me say this, if you're dealing with an addiction, if you are addicted to drugs, if you are addicted to alcohol, if you are addicted to sexual things, pornography, if you're addicted to overeating, if you are addicted, here's what you need to do. You need to put the Word of God in your mouth. And you say that whom the Son sets free is free indeed. I'm telling you, when you fall, and afterwards you go, gosh, I hate doing that. You've got to put the Word of God in your mouth. And you've got to say, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. He has set me free. I'm not bound by this anymore in the name of Jesus. And the more you do that, brothers and sisters, the weaker that thing gets. I know what I'm talking about. The weaker that thing gets, and before long, it has no power in your life. And you go, glory to God, I'm free. The Son set me free. And don't be condemned over the sin that you're involved in. Don't be condemned over that. So, well, you ought to be condemned. That'll help you to stop doing it. No, it won't. That'll keep the devil all over you if you feel condemned. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Don't let condemnation come into you. And you put the Word of God in your mouth and says, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. I'm free from this junk. Hallelujah. Somebody say amen with me. Amen. Amen. Okay. Now, tonight, we want to talk about something that's a little different. We want to talk about a corresponding action to what you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth. Corresponding action. In other words, what you believe, you will say. And what you believe and say, you will ultimately end up doing. And James is real strong on this. If you go with me, please, to James chapter 1. We'll read one passage of scripture from James here, beginning in verse 23. James chapter 1 and verse 23. Let's see what he has to say about being a doer of the word. James 1:23 says, if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, and he goes away, and immediately he forgets what kind of man he was. All right, this is the person who hears the word with his ears. It goes into his heart, and he's excited about it, especially when he's in a service like this, and things are cooking, and we're sort of soaking in the word, and it's really exciting. Man, I'm going to apply that to my life, and I'm going to do that, I'm going to do that, I'm going to do that. And then you leave, and he doesn't come back and give attention to that. He doesn't come back and rehearse that. He doesn't come back and put it in his mouth and speak it. He doesn't come back to that word and put value on it. That's valuable what I heard. That's valuable that I get it in my life and get it and I do it. He goes away and he just forgets about it. And Satan's right there as you walk out the front door to go, bloop, steal that word out of your heart. Because you didn't give that attention to it. You didn't give it a preeminence in your life. Man, you hear the word, man, give it a preeminence. And we've got to start doing that, honey. Kids, here's what we're going to do. We're going to start doing that word. Amen. It's the guy that goes away and goes, oh, that was a nice sermon. What's for lunch? And just forgets and doesn't really give attention to it. And thousands and thousands of Christians do this. They go to church and they think that's what God wants them to do. No. You go to church so you can get the Word of God in your heart so you can go out and do the Word. Amen. So, verse 23 says, But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty, oh, don't you love that? That's the word of God. It's a perfect law of liberty. It's here to set you free. It's here to give you every promise that God has promised to you. It's here to bring the will of God to pass in your life and in your family's life. Okay? But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it. He continues thinking about it. He doesn't forget it. He's not a forgetful hearer, but a what? A doer of the work. Wow. Now he says, when you put the word into action, he calls that's the work. That's really believing in action. Believing in action is called the work. He's a doer of the work. Amen. This one is blessed in his deeds or in what he does. This one is blessed. The blessing of God rests upon, the anointing of God bless, it rests upon what you do when you become a doer of the word, when you hear the word and you purpose in your heart not to forget it, but to put it into action, and you do it, the blessing of God rests upon you. The favor of God, the anointing of God is on you because you're doing his thing. You're doing what he's called you to do. You're putting the word in your mouth and you're declaring it, and things are changing in your life, and the anointing's on you heavy, and the blessing is on you. You're blessed in everything you do. Woo! Glory to God. That sounds like some scriptures that I know of. That sounds like Joshua 1:8. That in everything you do, you prosper and you have good success. 3 John 2 says, "Beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers." Okay, and then it goes on in verse 26, and it says, "If anyone among us thinks that he's religious and does not bridle his tongue." Look how important. He comes right back to the generator of this doing part. He says, if anyone seems to be religious, piousity, high and holy, but he is not a doer. Look what it says here. It says that he doesn't bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart. This one's religion is useless. Isn't it sad that you could actually deceive your own heart? That you could say one thing with your mouth and believe it in your head, believe that a false thing that you're saying is true, and then not even know that you're deceiving yourself. It's possible. The person who doesn't give attention to the word, the person who doesn't understand these principles we're talking about, they're just into religion. They're just into doing things, doing works, doing this and doing that. Without the word of God having been planted here, without the word of God coming out of their mouth. And actually, this is actually what happens, folks. The word of God coming out of your mouth and planted into your heart changes your behavior. If you have a behavioral problem, the answer is the word of God in your heart and in your mouth. So we talked about, if you're addicted to something, the only thing that can change that is the power of the word of God. Amen. So, faith comes by hearing, but faith without works is dead. Faith comes by hearing, but faith without works is dead. I want to read one passage of scripture to you, then I want to make a statement. 2 Corinthians 4:13. Look what this says. "We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe and therefore I've spoken. We also believe and therefore we speak." Now, let me say this. that confessing the Word of God is your initial corresponding action to the Word. It's the first thing that you should do when you hear the Word. You need to, when you hear a Word and you believe it, you should speak it, and that is a corresponding action. Okay, well, you put the Word of God in your heart, and faith comes by hearing the Word. Your first corresponding action needs to be that you speak it. Because if you say you have faith and then you don't do something about it, your faith is vain. I think Paul wrote and said, if you show me your faith, no, it's James, it said, you show me your faith without your works, I will show you my faith by my works. If you say you believe it, but then don't do it, how do we know you believe it? How do you know you believe it? Only what we do is what we believe. I like that. Now, that changed my life when I got that down in my heart and I said, you know what? What you do is what you believe. Everything else, somebody said, is religious bunk. What you do is what you believe. Everything else is religious bunk. All right, so what is a corresponding action? We're saying that words are the first corresponding action. Corresponding action, this is a corresponding action to faith. It's a subsequent work to believing. It's marrying a belief with an action. It's the .exe file, the executable file. Is when you click on that, the program starts, baby. Are you with me? It is the follow-through of faith. The corresponding actions are the follow-through of faith. If you believe it, you're going to speak it, and you're going to do it. Hallelujah. Well, I believe in tithing. Once you start saying that, you say, I believe it. I'm a believer. I believe in tithing. What are you going to do? We can't tithe this week, honey. Then you don't believe it. No condemnation. I'm not, you know, I've been there. But I can't say I believe it if I don't do it. Somebody shout amen. I didn't think I'd get a big shout on that, but at any rate. All right, so here, like for instance, you know, Abraham believed God, right? And it was accounted to him for righteousness. And that's Romans 4:3. Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. James chapter 2, verse 21 says this, was not Abraham our father justified by works? When he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar. So what happened was, Abraham had this commission from God. He had an assignment from God. Well, God knew he had to get faith firmly planted in his heart and get his promise coming out of his mouth. That's why he changed his name. We talked about that. He changed his name to Father of Nations. Father of many nations. Father of many nations. He's hearing it. Established in his heart, and then, bloop, Isaac is born. But you know what? The goal in Abraham's life was not to simply have a son in his old age. That was not the goal. That was not God's full intent in his life. See, the intent that God had and the assignment that God had on Abraham's life, catch this, was to eventually get that son, this miraculous son, to the place where he was, I guess, old enough to where there was a maturity in Abraham's heart where God would say to him, if you will sacrifice your son for my sake, I will sacrifice my son for your sake. See, that was an important part of his assignment. That was an important part of salvation. God had to have a covenant with a man who was willing to sacrifice his only son so that God could sacrifice his only son in response to that, in a sort of reciprocal covenant going on here. So he builds faith in Abram's heart, Abraham's heart, changes his name. And he says to him one day, he says, okay, Abraham, he says, in the morning, I want you to go and take your son, your only son. He had another son, Ishmael, but God called him his only son. And I want you to take him, and I want you to sacrifice him. So Abraham went to bed that night, and he thought, contemplated. The promise had been made in Genesis chapter 17, in Isaac shall your seed be blessed. In Isaac. If I kill Isaac, the seed stops, because he doesn't have any children. If I kill Isaac, the seed stops. But the word said, in Isaac shall your seed be blessed. Aha! I've got it. You're going to raise him from the dead. That's what you're going to do. Because, see, God's word was solid. It's forever established in heaven. It's the truth. And he says, take your son and sacrifice him. But it looks like it's opposite of what he had said, that in Isaac your seed will be blessed. And so he took his son, and they started out that next day. And they went up the hill, Mount Moriah, I believe it was. And they and Abraham, listen to what Abraham said. He said to the servants that were with him, you guys stay here. We're going to go worship. Me and the boy will be back. He knew he was going to be raised from the dead. So he took him up there, he bound him. The boy says, there's the wood, there's the fire, where's the sacrifice? Abraham says, God will provide for himself a sacrifice. That's some insight right there. God will provide for himself a sacrifice. And I'm wondering just how much he saw into this. He may have seen that God was going to offer his own son. And he was ready to plunge the knife, wasn't he? Because the word of God, because it was established in his heart, he was willing to do something that seemed impossible to him. Because he had a promise from God. And then God stopped him and said, all right, now I know you'd have done it. Loose the boy. Let's read a passage of scripture here in Hebrews chapter 11. Now this is the hall of faith. Abraham is the star of the hall of faith. Hebrews 11, 17, check it out. By faith Abraham, when he was tested, honey, if you say you believe the word, you're going to be tested. Not tested by evil, but the word of God is going to be tested in your life. So I'm a tither. You won't be able to tithe one day because there ain't enough money. And you're going to say, honey, if they have to come and take the car out of the yard, we're tithing. I talked to a couple this weekend. They said that that happened to them. They said, they knew because of their finances were in a certain situation and they had a business and it was, you know, the business wasn't doing all that well, but they were going to stay faithful to God. They knew that the car, they were either going to come get the car or they were going to come get the house, one or the other. It was just like that. But they stayed faithful and they said, well, you know, and they weren't worried. And so the guy knock, knock, knock on the door. Yeah, we're here to get the car. Well, the car wasn't here. And, it was somewhere else because they were trying to sell the car so they could pay for them. Long story short, he took the guy to the car, stopped and got him a cup of coffee, And the guy was just totally blown away. He was there to repossess his car. And he was saying, hey, no problem, you know, I want you to take it, hey. And he thought to him, the guy that was repossessing the car said, man, more people ought to do like this. More people ought to try to sell their car rather than having me come repossess it. And then he offered the guy a job. Said, do you want to come work for me? You'd be a good repossessing guy. Well, the point is this. He wasn't moved by what he saw. And they were, Jesus, they were joyful in the midst of that, witnessing to the guy, saying, man, this is not going to stay like this, just a little bit of hard time, God's going to come through. Glory to God. Hallelujah, that you're going to be tested in your commitment to God. And no matter what the test, you stand in the midst of it, your heart is firm, and your mouth is declaring, we're going over, baby. We're going over. Somebody say amen. Amen. Okay, so that's that passage of Scripture. I want to make sure that I got this one last point here. Yeah. Now listen to this, please. Faith in your heart and in your mouth will change your behavior. It changed Abraham's behavior. He was out trying to help God out at one point, making a kid. Now he's up ready to sacrifice his kid for the sake of God. Now listen to this, and this will take a little bit of explaining, but listen to this statement. God may ask you to do something that seems impossible so that he can do something in your life that seems impossible. God may ask you to do something that seems impossible. You know, and he does this along the way as you grow in faith. He pushes you right to the limit a little bit further than where you are. You know, it's like, he wants to tithe. We don't have a... Seems impossible to give 10% of my money away or more. And God says, look, if you'll do that, if you'll do what you think is impossible, I will be able to do what you think is impossible for me to do. Isn't that the way God works? Now, let me just caution you, please, at this point. Don't go trying to do something that's impossible to get God to back you up and to put you somewhere where you're not ready to go. That's like trying to build a third story on a vacant lot. You can't do that. You got to get the foundation laid. You got to let God just push you that out to that edge where, you know, in the thing that you're dealing with in your life. Don't go trying to believe God for $500,000 when you haven't learned how to tithe yet. Or you haven't learned how to give a little more than the tithe. You know, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to believe God for $500,000. I'm going to give all my money away. Don't do it. Don't do it. Work with God where he's working with you. Amen? Let God drive the bus. Don't you try to get out there and be presumptuous and try to let God, you know, try to make God or force God's hand for you to do something. Somebody says, well, somebody quit taking their insulin and God healed them from diabetes. I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to quit taking my insulin and God's going to heal me. Uh-uh, honey. That doesn't work like that. God told them to stop taking their insulin. And you keep taking your insulin until you get the word from God or you get healed. I know, yeah, I'm just going to leave that where it's at. I wish I could give you more caution with that. But you're going to need to grow. Do we have that confession yet? Because we're over time. There it is. Let's say this together. Can you read that? Let's say this together. I'm going to start reading. You read right along with me. I am the body of Christ, and Satan has no power over me, for I overcome evil with good. I am of God and have overcome him, for greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Your word and your spirit, they comfort me. I am far from oppression, and fear does not come near me. No weapon formed against me shall prosper, for my righteousness is of the Lord. Whatever I do will prosper, for I'm like a tree planted by the rivers of water. I am delivered from the evils of this present world, for it is the will of God. No evil will befall me, neither shall any plague come nigh my dwelling. For the Lord has given his angels charge over me, and they keep me in all my ways. In my path is life, and there is no death. I am a doer of the word of God, and I'm blessed in my deeds. I'm happy in those things which I do, for I am a doer of the word of God. I take the shield of faith, and I quench every fiery dart of the wicked one brings against me. Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law. Therefore, I forbid any sickness or disease to come on this body. Every disease, germ, or virus that touches this body dies instantly in Jesus' name. Every organ and every tissue in this body functions in the perfection that God created it to function. I forbid any malfunction in this body in Jesus' name. I am an overcomer. I overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony. I am submitted to God, and the devil flees from me because I resist him in Jesus' name. The word of God is forever settled in heaven. Therefore, I establish his word upon the earth. Great is the peace of my children, for they are taught of the Lord. Those are confessions that come directly from the word of God. If you will confess that every day for 30 days, it has got to change your life, because it is the word of God, and it's the power of God, and it's backed up by scripture. Amen. So I want to give you that. That'll show up on that website. I'm going to give you that website once again. newcreationconfessions.com. newcreationconfessions.com. It's got tons of great. I put on this past week a bunch of prosperity scriptures, increase scriptures. Just went through and got all the scriptures that I could find on prosperity and put them on there. Healing scriptures, just a boatload of healing scriptures. They're there. They're there for you to get the promise of God in your life. Amen. Love you. Have a great week. We'll see you.
Thank you for listening. For more information about East Coast Christian Center, please visit us online at www.eccc.us or give us a call at area code 321-452-1060, extension 100.